You're listening to Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show. And now, here's your host, Drew Marshall.
Well, it's been a crazy show so far, right, Timmy?
Maybe that's what it is.
It's the cray-cray in today's show?
Cray-cray, yes.
Dr. Jeffrey Long is the author of God in the Afterlife, the groundbreaking new evidence for God and near-death experience. Based on the largest scientific near-death experience study in history involving 4,000 people from diverse backgrounds and religious traditions, including non-believers, right? That's a key point, including non-believers, God in the Afterlife, co-written with Paul Perry, presents startling evidence that a supreme being exists.
I saw that on your face.
And there is amazing consistency about what God is like. It's the same
face.
Yeah. In his New York Times bestselling book, Evidence of the Afterlife, Dr. Jeffrey Long showed us that there is a strong scientific case for life after death. In his new book, he goes further, revealing evidence that indeed God is real. At the Near Death Experience Research Foundation, Dr. Long studied the stories of thousands of people who have journeyed to the afterlife, including Donald Trump. On the phone, Dr. Jeffrey Long. Sir, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. Greetings.
Greetings. You sound like you're from another planet, like Donald Trump. I want to know right away, what you think of the Todd Burpo story.
Heaven is for real.
Yeah.
That looks to me like, I know there's some controversy about it. I've studied his India, went to the movie that showed that particular presentation of Todd Burpo. I think that's an authentic near-death experience. I think that really happened, as best I can tell.
See, as someone blessed with the spiritual gift of pessimism, I would hear that story and wonder about, I guess, tribal conditioning. In other words, he grew up in the Jesus family, and so what he saw after whatever happened in the hospital or whatever coincided with whatever he grew up with. If he had grown up in another family in another country and had the same near-death experience, would he have experienced something different?
Well, and that's certainly a important part that I investigate as part of my near-death experience research. Over and over and very consistently, I'm finding that to a startling degree, your religious background, cultural belief does not seem to affect either the probability of you having a near-death experience with a close brush with death, or what the content of that near-death experience will be. So we've people from all around the world, huge variety of religious backgrounds, cultural beliefs, when they've shared their near-death experiences into my research database, I am startled at the striking consistency they have. No matter where they are in the world, whether they're a Muslim in Egypt, they're a Hindu in India, or Christian in the United States, when they have a near-death experience, what happens is strikingly similar.
Are you saying, but the people you've studied, the vast majority of people, shake hands with Jesus?
No. There's certainly some variation in the content of near-death experiences, and only maybe about 5% of people describe an encounter with Jesus. But when you look at large numbers of near-death experiences, and you're right, I've studied over 4,000 of them, you see very consistent elements that are very common in near-death experiences, and one of them is, of course, encountering or being aware of the reality of God during a near-death experience.
Right. Okay, what does it take for a near-death experience to actually qualify as a near-death experience, technically, scientifically?
Right. In my research, there's two things that are required. I take a fairly common sense approach. They have to be near death, so physically uncompromised that they're generally unconscious or even clinically dead with absent heartbeat. And at this time when no conscious experience should be possible, that's when they're having this experience, and that's the elements that we so consistently observe during a near-death experience.
The people that, you hear this often, Dr. Long, they look down and see their own body. That's almost in all of the cases something that happens in a near-death experience?
Not at all. In my investigation, about 45% of people had an out-of-body experience where they were observing ongoing earthly events, including often, interestingly, their own frantic resuscitation efforts. The other 55% immediately are in, if you will, unearthly realms, and they're not observing ongoing earthly events.
You know, as a skeptic might listen to this, and I'm sure you've had pushback on this from various people, they might wonder what bias do you bring to this research? Because not only are you Dr. Jeffrey Long, but you're Dr. Jeffrey Long, who's a God guy. So you believe in the afterlife anyway. Does that play any role in your findings, do you think?
When I do either my near-death experience or my medical research, that white research coat goes on. I have to set aside, in all the research I do, and especially for near-death experience, any pre-existing beliefs that I had. When I set up my near-death experience website to start these investigations about 17 years ago, my focus, the sole reason I did that, was to learn the truth about near-death experience. I wanted the evidence to be shared with me, and from that evidence, conclude what the truth was about near-death experience.
So you're saying that as much as you can be unbiased, you are?
Absolutely. And especially with the type of research I do, where all of these experiences I'm quoting in my books are on the website, anybody on the planet can go and read the full text of everything that I quote, review my line of reasoning, and make up their own mind about the evidence that I present. The transparency in my type of research is somewhat unique because it's website-based.
Okay, God and the Afterlife is the name of the book, the groundbreaking new evidence for God and near-death experience. Dr. Jeffrey Long is on the phone with us. Is this material, is this book going to be something that rocks someone's spiritual life so much that they will come away after reading this book convinced that there's a God?
You know, and that's why I call it evidence. My job is to not tell people, quote, this is proof, unquote. My job is to say, here's what I've observed so consistently in literally hundreds of near-death experiences, as well as having references from the original near-death experience counts that anybody can read. So I think there certainly will be some people that are going to read this and be very impressed. It certainly was true with my prior book, Evidence of the Afterlife. A large number of people came away convinced more than ever in their life that there really was an afterlife, a wonderful afterlife for all of us. And I suspect we're going to see an awful lot of people where this book is going to resonate with them, help them understand that there really is a God, a loving God, and that's going to touch, I hope, a large number of lives.
Okay, one of the things that gets discussed rarely in these sorts of conversations, unless you're part of the Jesus scene where there's punishment and hell and Satan, you know, that kind of stuff, is the scary things that happen after you have this near-death experience. Most people, from what I've heard, and you tell me if your numbers prove otherwise, I think come away from, you know, they tell these stories of near-death experience with a white light and the, you know, music and, you know, the soft, fuzzy, warm, tender moments or whatever. But has anybody come back from a near-death experience and they've had the living hell scared out of them?
Oh, absolutely. A very small percentage of near-death experiences are frightening, and about 1% are overtly hellish. And they are extremely frightening, if you will, objectively frightening. It is only about 1% of them, but because I have such a large database to study, I found several dozen, and that's actually incorporated in a chapter in my book about hellish near-death experiences.
Oh, geez, my head's exploding. I have so many questions. The people that experience the scary stuff, the hell stuff, you said hellish experience, I would like to know if those people grew up with the Judeo-Christian theology in their background.
Yeah, and that's a good question. As best I can tell, and we ask very detailed survey questions about their background, demographics, what their religious belief was at the time of their near-death experience, as best I can tell from these several dozen hellish near-death experiences, they have the same demographic background as everybody else, as the consistent with the people that had that experienced the pleasant, blissful near-death experiences that are much more common. In fact, in addition to my study, other scholarly research into frightening and hellish near-death experiences doesn't really substantiate what you might think, that these are necessarily bad people, that these have people with a particular background, thought process at the time of their near-death experience. Are these evil people? Hellish near-death experiences seem to be possible regardless of what a person's belief system is, what they're thinking at the time of the near-death experience, and whether they're, if you will, pro-social or anti-social. Now, there may be, from my research, a slight trend toward antisocial people being a little bit more predisposed to have a hellish near-death experience, but it's not certainly something that is a highly predictive situation there.
I have a friend in New York who was involved in founding the largest website that gathers sort of extraterrestrial communities. It's like the HuffPost of the UFO world. And I guess his brain, I'm trying to think about now, would say, has anybody had a near-death experience and encountered aliens or UFO kind of stuff?
Oh, great question. There's actually, now it's a small number of near-death experiences, but some of them, when they're in the unearthly or heavenly realms, do go past other planets that have life on them. In fact, one very vivid near-death experience I recall is that they were with other beings and asked to see a planet that was less far along as Earth, and actually saw a planet where it had a great deal of primitive seeming animals, and wanted to see a planet where there was more advanced life than Earth, and was shown one that had, if you will, a much more apparently advanced society and technologically advanced society than we have here on Earth. So while they're uncommon, I certainly have a small series in my database that describe exactly that. From the evidence from near-death experiences that, yes, there is life, including intelligent life, on other planets in this universe.
Yeah, or Nebraska. What I guess obviously at the base of all this, you know, line of questioning is, if someone is predisposed or preconditioned to believe a certain set of beliefs, tribal beliefs, religious beliefs, and they have a near-death experience, then whatever they have been taught before, that their experience will then tie into that precondition. In other words, at the end, you're sort of saying there is a God, but doesn't each person kind of relate to their own God in these near-death experiences? In other words, is it the brain simply reflecting on what they know, or are the experiences, the supernatural experiences, real?
Well, if pre-existing beliefs or expectation was driving the content of a near-death experience, then atheists obviously would not encounter God, right?
Yeah, hold on. I'm just thinking it through.
Okay, and you know where I'm going with this, because we do have a series of people that defined their belief system as atheist at the time they had their near-death experience. Now,
right.
Of course, virtually all, including some that encountered God. Of those that did, virtually all of them, of course, are no longer atheists. But yes, we have not only atheists, but actually very young children. By the time you're less than 5 years old, you're practically culturally a blank slate. You don't really understand God, religion, don't really have formulated beliefs about life and death. And yet here are these very young children under the age of five, and we've got a fairly good-sized series from people that had their near-death experience at very young age. And Drew, they're having exactly the same, essentially the same near-death experiences. They may encounter God, and the description's strikingly similar as is described by older children and adults.
So Buddhists, when they have near-death experience, don't encounter Buddha, and Christians don't encounter Jesus, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, that's a great question. I have about 40 to 50 non-Western near-death experiences, and there are vanishing few of those that really describe God. A few of them do. What few do seems consistent with God described in all other near-death experiences, but it's such a small number, I'm not really going to stand up on the soapbox and say that we have evidence that non-Western near-death experiencers that encounter God are the same.
Mm-hmm.
We need a lot more near-death experience. In fact, I've collaborated with a near-death experience researcher in Iran. And in communication with this gentleman, he's very clear that if you're a Muslim and encounter God in a near-death experience, you would be, even if that really happened, per their cultural beliefs, you would be extremely hesitant to share that. So
yes.
In addition to it being difficult to acquire near-death experiences, we also have cultural barriers in some of the non-Western countries that would somewhat inhibit their willingness to share an encounter with God in their experiences.
Man. Yeah, this is such a fascinating field for me personally, because I grew up in the funeral business. I've been around death since I was a young child. I have also been a pastor, and I am a hospital chaplain, and I've been at the bedside of many who have died. And it's hard for me to believe the stories of people that come back from the dead. In your work, hold on, let me back this up and say one more thing. Whenever I hear these stories about some ministry where somebody's going around saying that so-and-so came back from the dead because some preacher touched them or prayed over them or something like that, two things happen in my brain. One is, are they making money off this story? And two, why is it always in countries where you can hardly verify the death, where you can hardly verify the resurrection? This stuff never goes down in New York City. So help me, I don't know, should I believe the fact that people can die and come back afterwards?
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about the people that share their near-death experiences. These people come from all walks of life. These are physicians, scientists, ministers, priests, homemakers, and everybody everywhere all around the planet. The people that share their near-death experiences with me for the research website, they're not being paid anything. Almost none of them have written a book. Almost none of them want to go public and share their near-death experience with a wide group. These people share their near-death experience and take a huge amount of time answering over 100 questions because they want us to know. It's out of the goodness of their heart that they want to share their remarkable life experience. So at least in the data that I have, this doesn't seem to be anything. They're certainly not making money. Hey, and I could tell you, I'd be making a lot more money as a physician if I were practicing medicine hour by hour than writing books. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can tell you, I mean, you talk about New York, good gosh, we got scores and scores of near-death experiences from New York. I can tell you also, as a physician, and, you know, I'm not alone in this, there's literally been hundreds of papers about near-death experience written in some of the leading medical and scientific journals. I mean, there are literally hundreds of scholarly papers out there. What we're all seeing, us scores of serious near-death experience researchers, is that these people really are near-death. There's been a number of studies where they've actually verified that. Some prospective, that means they verified they had a cardiac arrest, and a number of other studies where they went and reviewed medical records retrospectively. I can tell you as a physician, I'm very astute at picking up whether these people were or were not near-death from my medical background. And these people, when they say they nearly died, they nearly died.
Okay, on the phone with Dr. Jeffrey Long. He is the author of God and the Afterlife, the groundbreaking new evidence for God and near-death experience. Here's a website you may want to check out, folks. It's NDERF. Sorry, N-D-E-R-F. That's Norman Drew Edward Robert Frank, NDERF.org. That stands for?
The Near-Death Experience Research Foundation.
What I love about this site is, first of all, how many languages does this site kind of work in?
Yeah, we're up to, well, I think 29 at last count. Portions of the website have been translated into 29 different languages. You can literally, anywhere on the planet, almost certainly find a language that you'll be able to read on this website.
Is this also a gathering place for stories? In other words, if people have had their own stories, can they go to the site and submit it?
Absolutely. There's a survey that we encourage people to fill out, and I have a huge appreciation for those that spend their time to do this. The survey is way over 100 questions. It takes a lot of time to fill this out. It's not only that we have 4,000 near-death experiences, but the vast number of questions allows us to study near-death experiences in a depth that simply hasn't been possible before. So, and then, of course, when they share it, those that give us permission to post it back on the website, it's posted anonymously, and about 95% or more of people do give us permission. So you're really seeing what near-death experiences really are. Unedited, we don't exclude any near-death experience based on the content of the account. So this is really be shared with the world, a true labor of love that me and Jody here, the webmaster, do. And that's our goal, is to share these remarkable accounts worldwide.
Okay, let's finish with the coolest story you've ever heard.
Okay, oh wow, there's so many. I mean, you know, out of 4,000, I think that would be very difficult. But let's go with this one. We'll try to summarize it in a minute or less. This was Lady Vicky. She was born totally blind. To her, vision was unknown and unknowable. She was involved in a very bad car wreck when she was in her early 20s. No, she wasn't driving. She had someone else driving who'd been a little overserved at the bar she was singing at. She was a professional singer. The first time in her life that she was aware of vision was when she was above her body in that out-of-body experience looking down on a gurney in the emergency room. Her initial emotional reaction was horror. She was frightened because vision was so unfamiliar to her. In fact, she didn't even recognize that body down below until she correlated what previously had been a sensation only achievable through feeling, the length of her hair, and interestingly, feeling a ring that her father had given her many years ago, she was now seeing it with vision for the first time. Vicky went on to have a stunningly detailed and visual near-death experience. She actually saw 360-degree vision, that's, if you will, spherical, up, down, right, left, forward and backward simultaneously, that many near-death experiencers describe. And even to this day, when I interviewed her, if she found it inconceivable that you and I and everybody else don't see in 360-degree vision, because for Vicky, that was literally her only experience. Now, I can tell you, medically speaking, for someone born totally blind to have a highly visual experience, that is absolutely medically inexplicable and one of the lines of evidence out of many for the reality of near-death experience.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. I guess I should just shut up and believe you, huh?
I think I welcome skeptics because we learn from answering questions. You know, we think if skeptics have questions, they need to be addressed. I mean, that's an important part of research. I do that in my scientific and medical research, and I certainly do that in my near-death experience research. Skeptic comments and questions, always welcome.
Ooh, I just thought of a good name for a convention, Skepticon.
That's good.
I like it.
You're not sure if you can go in?
I'm not sure if I can sign up or not. Yeah. So good to chat with you, Dr. Jeffrey Long, author of God and the Afterlife, the groundbreaking new evidence for God and near-death experience. The website, again, to go to is Norman Drew Edward Ralph Frank, NDERF.org. Dr. Long, thank you so much.
It has been a pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Tori. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you have anything you'd like to share with our listeners at this particular point in time?
Indeed, I do.
Indeed. Let's see if you can say this all the way through without stuttering once. We're all watching. And action.
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign. Well, what if we gave you an entire show?
Wow, that's a great idea.
The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative and affordable advertising concept for the small business owner. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you the opportunity to partner with us for an entire show. Become a one-day advertising partner, and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, and we'll give you a live five-minute phone interview.
Crazy.
Oh, and one more thing.
Yes?
We'll also offer... Sorry. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. So if you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with the Drew Marshall Show. Contact us through our website, drewmarshall.ca, and ask about becoming a one-day advertising partner.
Good. Good, ladies and gentlemen. Tori, the intern.
Yeah!
Yes, well done, Tori, the intern.
If
very well
you
done.
You made it easy for me.
I did make it easy for you.
Oh, man.
I made you start over again.